This episode of Breakthrough Success is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Burry, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcast. And when it comes to making money, there's a lot of right ways to do it. There's also a lot of wrong ways to do it. And one of the biggest pitfalls people make on their road to money is sacrificing their health and all these other different things. And we have a special guest on who actually teaches people how they can become what he calls a prosperpreneur, which is an individual whose health and wealth are in alignment in a way that leads to true prosperity. So we're not just talking about accumulating wealth, accumulating stuff. We're also talking about being healthy in the process and having that whole life picture. So the guest who joins us today, he is the CEO of CRS Group Holdings. He mentors and consults with entrepreneurs, business leaders, sales professionals, and companies, where he helps them build and protect their brands by raising their level of influence as trusted advisors to maximize their results. Our special guest today is also an accomplished business and emotional intelligence strategist, world-class speaker, award-winning author, certified mindset expert, radio show host, and media personality, as well as a wellness advocate. So our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Christopher Salem. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Mark, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Chris, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I love the idea of prosperpreneur. That is a trademark term. Definitely really awesome. You came up with that. It's a nice, catchy, but there's a lot of meaning behind that word where it comes to being wealthy, but also healthy. So I'm wondering if you could share with us your journey to becoming a prosperpreneur, because it's not something people really think about for a while.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you how it all came about first. I mean, it was something I was already kind of living, but the whole prosperpreneur name itself woke me up out of a dead sleep about a little over 5 years ago. I can remember to this day, and it was around 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I had this term in my head, prosperpreneur, and I'm like, what is this? And I couldn't go back to bed, so I remember going downstairs to my office that I had in my house, and I was Googling prosperpreneur, prosper this, newer that. And I couldn't find anything where that those two, that prosper and newer, were coming together. But I knew that I needed to have a professional trademark lawyer look into it, and which obviously I did, and found out that it was not being used. So that was something that I could actually own and use in a way to help people see the importance of not only wealth, but also how their wellness plays a huge part in that. So basically what it is, it's looking at your wellness first. And we look at wellness, it's not just physical wellness, which people would think about, you know, nutrition, exercise. It's looking at the 8 pillars of wellness. And the 8 pillars of wellness are social, emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, occupational, intellectual, and then environmental. And if you want, I can touch on all 8 of them. But when those 8 pillars of wellness are in alignment, so there's not, you're not going to have perfect balance, but when they strike harmony, then we're able to sustain and be able to accomplish the things that are important to us on the wealth standpoint. That is our net worth. That is the freedom that we have to create a life on our terms. That is accomplishing certain types of business goals that are important to us. Maybe writing a book, a memoir, whatever the case may be, whatever that means to you, whatever success means to you. And when we could strike a balance of that wealth, or excuse me, the wellness with wealth, we can then experience true prosperity on all fronts, having gratitude, being humble, and really seeing what life is all about. So, the whole prosperpreneur term really reflects that. You don't have to be a prosperpreneur, an entrepreneur to be a prosperpreneur. You can work for a company. It's just a way of how you live your life with the right habits, disciplines, and coming from your core values and principles to be the example for others to modify for themselves. So I'd be happy to explain the 8 pillars if you like. It's up to you, depending upon the time, but let me know.
And it's interesting how you mentioned wellness as the forefront, because it's not something people think about, because a lot of people, they think finances, and then they think, I got to spend time with my family, and they think balancing all these different things. But wellness, I feel like if you get that right, it's a foundation. And then that's where we get into those eight different pillars that Christopher was talking about. For people who, I mean, again, like, it's not something you're learning right away, like put wellness in front. So how do you create that shift for people where instead of like thinking business first or thinking about all the stress they have to do, how do you put wellness first for other people? And how did you do that for yourself also?
Absolutely. Well, think about it. It depends on where you are in your life, right? Some people might be just starting off a business or maybe starting their career. Maybe some people are in the middle, or some people have achieved tremendous amounts of success monetarily or in their business. Doesn't matter. See, there is no such thing as perfect balance. There's never going to be 50-50. Think about a seesaw, right? Here's a seesaw. A seesaw is never going to be on its axis point like this. It's either going to be teetering like this, but many times people will find themselves where maybe they're bankrupt on the wellness end, but their business might be great for, you know, at the time, and vice versa. So you got to look at life and business as one. They are not separate. Because what you do in your business, you take, it affects your personal life. What happens in your personal life affects your business. We think that we can, you know, put them in different compartments, but the reality is they blend over and fall into one another. So the key is not to find perfect balance. It is to strike harmony. So meaning that if you're starting a business, yeah, you may have to, it might be 70% that you're putting into the business and 30% into your well-being. There might be a case where that may happen at that point. As long as that you're okay and you're feeling okay, that's okay. And it might start to shift and balance up to 40-60. See, everything scales based upon where your focus is. But the key is that you don't want to be in a situation where you're neglecting your wellness overall. So for instance, let's say that financially that you're in debt. You are living paycheck to paycheck. Will that affect the way you take care of yourself emotionally? Well, sure, you might not be in a good place. You might be, there's a lot of undue stress on you. That stress gets projected into the future. That creates anxiety. That leads to procrastination. All of these effects emotionally can take you off balance. Then that'll affect you physically, because you'll then be emotionally eating maybe foods that don't serve you. You might be overweight. You might be, because of the stress that you're putting onto your body, that triggers inflammation with a combination of the wrong foods, lack of exercise that you're doing, and then obviously that takes your physical well-being off. So see, the eight pillars are like dominoes. Whatever you do could affect the others in a negative or positive way. So the key is to strike that harmony where we don't neglect it, but we understand that sometimes we have to put a little bit more into something and a little bit less, but not to the point where we sacrifice it and it really, you know, crumbles our foundation. We always want to be operating from that foundation and also nurturing it, so it allows us to sustain the things we have to do in building our wealth or building a business or whatever is important to you on that end of it. So, but the ultimately in the long run, we always want to find that we're striking that harmony between both. That's really, really where you want to be. And knowing that, you know, one thing affects the other.
And I really love that harmony example, because a lot of people, they are stressed about that balance. But if you view it as a harmony, then you know that sometimes you're always going to be imbalanced. You're never going to be perfect 50-50, as Christopher mentions, but the harmony really gives it a different twist and allows you to deeper appreciate, even if you're more business than wellness or more wellness than business at certain points. As long as you can always come back to center and just like really assess where you are and see where you want to be. And on that thought of where you want to be, one of the things I know Christopher helps people with is going from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. So I wonder if you could share with us some tips on how we can have that growth mindset in different parts.
Sure. So oftentimes a fixed mindset is just simply what we do on autopilot every day. You know, it's based upon the values and principles that we've grown up with. Now we have to ask ourselves, are our values and principles that we've grown up to led to believe, are they coming from limited beliefs or limitless beliefs? Are we where we want to be? So if we're not, and maybe we're dealing with an issue of lack of self-confidence, a lack of self-esteem, all of these can be tied back to a fixed mindset, which goes back to childhood, tied to limited beliefs, and often experienced through either one or more negative emotions that really dictates our experiences. So a fixed mindset is also often tied to codependency. So meaning codependent behavior where we're seeking to be pleased or enabled, or that we depend upon others, people if to meet our expectations. See, when we shift from a fixed to a growth mindset, we understand we have to come out of our comfort zone to look at what could be holding us back. So through meditation and journaling, we have the ability to go into our subconscious mindset over time, determine what is blocking us from the fixed mindset, those limited beliefs that go back to childhood. It could be to one particular parent. Doesn't mean that you had to have a bad childhood for that to happen. It could be a wonderful childhood. But that's where it's tied to our level of self-esteem and confidence as well. And where we're able to resolve the root cause to our limited beliefs from that place, we can begin to make the shift to a growth mindset to create the solution, to look at the habits and disciplines that perhaps we either lack or never had in place ever, to start incorporating to our lives to build our success foundation for whatever that means to us. That's all a part of, about being a crosspreneur. And when we're able to do that, we understand that this shift from a fixed to a growth isn't a one-time thing. That it's just like with anything. When we make that shift, we have to sustain it. And this is where the eight pillars of wellness come into effect in striking that harmony to maintain that level of growth mindset for the rest of our lives. Always making sure we never become complacent. It's an ongoing thing. It's like going to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. But in this case, it's not just 4 or 5 times. It's every day of your life.
Right.
So we can never become complacent. So the habits and disciplines that I do daily, I've been doing for 20 years, every day of my life, to not only that built my success foundation, but also sustain it and then allow me to take on new opportunities in my life, in my business, to grow. But I wasn't always there, Mark. I mean, I lived from limited beliefs. I struggled with negative emotions, led to addiction and behaviors, codependent behaviors that did not serve me. I operate today from a growth mindset, from limitless beliefs, and I function in an interdependent independent environment.
Coming up on this episode, we've got a conversation about human potential and getting the big habits in our lives to stick, the ones that we want. But before we get into that, first, I want to share with you the Jobber Minute. And there are a lot of different types of softwares out there. So if you're wondering if Jobber is right for you, we've got a few different businesses that have used Jobber, achieved really awesome results. So one of those businesses is HVAC Business Trust Home Comfort, was able to increase their revenue by $200,000 in just 1 year from using Jobber. Van Wu, the business owner, says Jobber's flexible options and inexpensive startup fees made it less risky for them financially, while features including their customer feedback function helps the company attain 40% of their jobs from customer referrals. Modern Plumbing's owners Paige and Ron Grover went from zero customers to fully booked in under 3 years. Since making the switch from pen and paper to Jobber, the company has earned over 250 positive reviews and 2 business awards, including the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Ethics, by a unanimous vote. Paige says, "I can't imagine not having Jobber." And with 23 employees under her makeup belt, Blush Artistry owner Heather Dick said Jobber's simple management tools, including her favorites, the full reports and follow-up prompts for quotes, helped her keep her team of artists and stylists on the same page. Jobber has allowed us to cut down on everything, hold on to our money, and charge efficiently, she said. It's also allowed me to work from anywhere. I don't think anyone would argue that an ocean view from the office is a bad perk. Glad we could make that possible, Heather. Read more success stories on getjobber.com And make sure you use getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to get 6 months for 20% off. Anyway, let's go back into the episode, have that conversation about human potential and how you can make some of those big habits stick. And it is interesting because, like, through hosting Breakthrough Success, you hear a lot of stories about people who they had, like, a few bad things happen, or like they were in a very bad state and then they recover. And whether you're listening to this right now and you feel like you still have to make that recovery, or you are someone who has made that recovery, I mean, like, through examples like Christopher, like, the human potential we all have is really incredible. Just like being able to go from, like, some of the incredible lows each of us have experienced to be able to get back to where we are. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit on how you got out of that addiction state and that rough patch, and how you were able to turn, formulate some of the habits that, I mean, you've been doing for 20 years. Really amazing. So can you share that a little bit?
Sure. Well, let's go back past 20 years. I mean, to make a long story short, the root cause to my limited beliefs had stemmed back to my father. Didn't realize it at the time, but I had grown up from the time I was 14 until the time I turned 30, where I operated my life in a state of anger. So the negative emotion that I experienced my limited beliefs through was anger. So that anger is how I experienced it. So my limited beliefs would play a role in recreating situations of taking on either jobs or getting involved in businesses, picking girlfriends, that would all lead to expectations going unfulfilled, to be disappointed, and to experience that anger over and over and over again. And because of that ongoing anger that I had every day, and that led to behaviors that were many times not appropriate, it led me to addiction as a way to medicate. So I medicated through drugs, alcohol, sex addiction. It didn't matter. See, the true addiction was not those three. It was the anger. It was the anger that was the fuel that drove my limited beliefs to recreate new situations, to experience it over and over again. So once I was able to have a turning point, and my turning point was my father was diagnosed with cancer when I was at the age of 30. My dad was 56 at the time. My dad, I believe to this day, his cancer was just a physical manifestation of his own limited beliefs and his emotional unbalance that he experienced from his root cause, which was his father. That was the trigger point for me to take responsibility for my life and for my being accountable. See, me and my dad didn't have a great relationship. We didn't have really any relationship, but he gave me the greatest gift, and he made up for all that time by showing me that if I continue to live the life I'm living now, I'm gonna be just like him, and maybe on my deathbed at the age of 56 or somewhere around there, living in this emotional unbalance that would affect all the other eight pillars of my wellness, to really affect me physically and to lead to illness. So that was the trigger. That was a turning point for me. I took responsibility. I got into meditation and journaling, into certain types of organizational tasks that allowed me to get laser focused of where the root cause was to my limited beliefs, to eradicate them through forgiving the source, which was my father, and forgiving, more importantly, myself. And then from that same place to create the solution, to adopt certain habits and disciplines that I was not using at the time, that would help me to get my eight pillars of wellness in harmony, so that I could embark upon the goals that I wanted to put into play to accomplish in my life and business. So flash forward 20 something years later, you know, I've become financially independent as a result of it. I've lived a life of where I put family first, and of course my well-being first, and then I'm an example for my family as a result of that. I've created an interdependent environment in terms of relationships with my family, with the people I work with, and I choose not to associate with any codependent behavior whatsoever. So I'm able to establish boundaries, and it's that lifestyle and the way I do business that allows me to sustain a business model that allows me to achieve success on all fronts. Does that mean everything is perfect? No, but I don't look at challenges or setbacks or problems as a setback. I look at them as part of the process, to that I can see the blessings and opportunities disguised in them to get me where I want to be. So I embrace the process and let the process yield the outcome or the desired results that I'm seeking. I don't focus on the outcome itself, the process in the moment.
Wow, Christopher, really awesome stuff. And it's interesting how like one big moment in your life, like in this case, your father getting cancer, really changed the way you viewed yourself and what you wanted to do for the rest of your life. So that's how the you were able to get out of that rough patch. So actually, I interviewed someone, Blake Cohen, recently. We'll throw that link in the show notes for people interested. That's a more deep, it's a deeper dive into addiction. Like that's like one of the, like the main focus of that episode. But for him, it was him realizing the pain that he was inflicting on others because he just thought he was inflicting pain on himself. So finding something bigger than yourself, that was the thing we talked about in that episode. And I saw a lot of that, Justin, what you said, like if you find something bigger than yourself, that's really going to get you to take action, whether it's getting out of an addiction, not something we talk about a lot on the show, but still a hot topic. And even like achieving success in like financial success, well-being, and everything else, but you do have to find something that is bigger than yourself.
So true. And you know, you got to be the example. You got it, just like the, you think about when you go on a plane and you see the oxygen mask come down, most people would think you take the oxygen mask and put it on your child, but really you're supposed to put it on yourself, because how can you really serve the child if you haven't first addressed yourself? That's not being selfish. It's like if I'm going to like help somebody to inspire them to lose weight or get healthy, I have to be the example for them to look at and observe so they can find within themselves to find the strength to do it themselves. I can't do it for them. See, nobody can make you happy. Nobody can make you successful. They can be examples of that, but you ultimately are the one who's in control, driving the vehicle to make that happen. And knowing that when you do your part and then you allow the universe or whatever you want to call it to do their part and trust the process, that in time the desired results that you seek will come based upon what you put into the process, trusting it and letting the universe do its part.
Yeah, Christopher, I love the oxygen mask example, because self-care is something that no one really feels like doing, and they even feel guilty about it. It's like parents who like they feel like they're like not giving their children enough love if they take any time to care for themselves. It's like they're not acknowledging their children. Like that's what people think. But if you do that self-care, as Christopher mentions, like in this case, just putting the oxygen mask on you, it's you're able to better serve the people around you. So really awesome highlight for us to wrap on for people who want to learn more about you. Where are some of the places we can go?
So the best places that you can find me, obviously my website at www.christopher, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, Salem, Salem.com. You can find information of what I do to help individuals and businesses to help them create interdependent work environments. That's for companies to improve communication, leadership. And for individuals, I help them to not only establish their success foundations to overcome limited beliefs, but also how to build and sustain their brands by raising their level of influence. You have to be the example in order to influence others to find within themselves to do the same thing. So it's a great way to build a business based upon results. So that's what I do. So www.christophersalem.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. You can just Google my name. Radio show is Sustainable Success on the Voice America Influencers channel. And then I also run a nonprofit 501c3 organization called Empowered Fathers in Action. EFA Movement is that in short. And that's at efamovement.org. You can find out information also what we do there, helping families and communities and business.
Christopher, thank you so much for sharing all those resources. We'll put them on the show notes. You'll also find the show notes to schedule a strategy call if you want to learn how to be successful on YouTube, grow your podcast, or make money with your content, markaberry.com/strategy, or text the word strategy to 31996. Christopher, once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
This episode of Breakthrough Success was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough.